This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Now, back to Willard and Dibbs.
I walked over here supposedly as a tough guy. He just told a story. That just said, run. Have you done that?
On 95.7 The Game.
Ah, that was a good night.
Yeah, it was.
That was a good night. End of summer sales event on at Frontier Ford, Stevens Creek in Santa Clara. Now is the time to get a great deal on a new Ford car, truck, or SUV. So stop by or visit FrontierFord.com for incredible savings and drive away in your dream Ford at Frontier Ford or FrontierFord.com. All right, we look forward to this every week. Today we got a lot of really good stuff that we're excited to get to. So out to the River Islands guest line we go to bring in executive producer of NFL Films and our Wednesday conversation, the czar of the film, of course, none other than Greg Cosell. Hey, Greg, what's up today?
Gentlemen, what's happening? How you doing?
We're doing great, and we're sitting here going down the rabbit hole of the Davante Adams situation, wherever he ends up. Sounds like it's going to be somewhere else, but let's start with this. He's now past 30. He's not playing with a good quarterback, but what do you see? Is he still one of the elite receivers in the game?
Well, it's funny you ask that, because over the summer I asked a bunch of coaches who are the top five receivers in the league, and his name always came up. So he is clearly viewed that way by coaches in the NFL. Obviously, he hasn't played a ton of football this year due to injury, but the feeling around the league clearly is that he's one of those guys.
When you look at scheme fit potentially in an offense like the 49ers, where the receiver is expected to block and be a physical presence, is that the sort of scheme where Davante Adams could thrive?
What, do you think he's going to be a Niner? You know that's not going to happen.
I know it's not, Greg, but we're dreaming a little dream, and he's from Palo Alto, and so we're playing a little bit of the dream game here on a Wednesday. And I just was wondering, film-wise and scheme-wise, if you thought that in this cockamamie scenario that I'm painting, if he would be a fit for the Niners and Shanahan's offense.
Probably the same kind of fit that Jerry Rice would be. Is he available too?
I think he's free. Well,
yeah. Wait, Greg, can I bite off the forbidden fruit? Why is he definitely not going to be a Niner?
I don't think that first of all, I don't know what teams would have to give up to get him. I'm not good with that kind of trade stuff. I don't think that he'd get a first-round pick at this point, being over 30. So I don't know. I don't know what, you know, all those trade cards say in the league. But as far as the player, I think he fits any offense because he can line up both outside and inside. So he's inside, outside, flexible. He can run any route. While he's not a true vertical dimension, he's such a good route runner that he can be a vertical player. So he really fits anything. If you're asking me, is he going to be a dominating blocker like maybe Juwan Jennings is, that's probably not the case. But I think that, to me, receivers blocking, stems more from culture than it does from ability, because no receiver is asked to block like an offensive lineman, to, you know, really be super physical and lay people out. So it's really a mentality and an aggressiveness more than it is, you know, just laying people out. So I think when you're in the 49ers receiver room, and with the way Kyle Shanahan probably talks about it and coaches it, you're expected to do that, so you do it.
Okay, so I'm thinking back to you were on the Ross Tucker podcast like 4 or 5 weeks ago, and you made the comment about going through all of Brandon Ayuk's targets.
Oh, we're not going to talk about him again, are we?
We are.
Only in 16 more weeks, Greg.
Yeah, well, but here's the thing, because what we're doing is, this is a compare and contrast situation with these two players right now, because I'll go with you, Greg, that this is unlikely, highly unlikely even, but I don't think it's completely off the table. And so you said that Brandon was like a perfect fit for what the 49ers do. Yeah, okay, so would Devontae be able to check those same boxes?
Yeah, Devontae would be a perfect fit anywhere because he's one of the best receivers in the league. That's like asking me, you know, if Ja'Marr Chase is a perfect fit. I mean, okay, when you're dealing with top five receivers, they're perfect fits pretty much anywhere.
Then, and what about the idea, and this has been said before, that Kyle Shanahan's offense, his playbook, especially for receivers, is very difficult to learn. Now, Devontae's been around for a long time, but what about learning a new playbook, Shanahan's offense, midseason?
I mean, I'm sure there's things that would be different for him, but he's been in the league for quite a while. He's been through multiple offenses. My guess is it would not take him long. It's not as if he'd be a first, second-year player, but, you know, that would be my guess.
Going from fantasy back to reality, Greg, which is where I think you and I are a lot more comfortable. Brandon,
by the way, the Niners did gain 431 yards of total offense this week and averaged 7.2 yards per play, and they were 7 for 13 on third down. So I kind of feel like their offense was okay this week. They got the leading rusher in the NFL, by the way, or the leading. I think he has more carries than anybody in the NFL.
Yeah, and a quarterback who turns out can throw the deep ball with a couple explosives.
I think they're pretty good on, you know, on offense.
And Brandon Ayuk, I thought, was better than many of our fans are thinking. And I'm looking at the first catch that he had out of 21 personnel that went for 36 yards.
You mean I mean, that was a post cross, and he was wide open because they played it really poorly. I think the IU conversation, because I assume until he has a day where he goes, you know, 6 for 120, that, you know, people are going to think, what's wrong with Brandon Ayuk? You know, and I don't know how to answer that, to be honest with you, because if the offense is playing well, you know, the 49ers offense, as you guys probably know, is not built around one player. You know, they don't, Kyle does not go into a game saying, well, the game plan today is to get this guy the ball. That's not the way they play. So, you know, that's one reason why Debo Samuel has never had huge, huge numbers, because they don't play that way.
And the way they played with Debo back and George Kittle, did that look to you on film much more like the typical Shanahan offense with a lot of 21 personnel and a lot of pre-snap movement and really Brock Purdy spreading the ball around?
Well, they always play like that. It's just some weeks, obviously, depending on opponent, it gets executed better than others. This is a team that plays with Juszczyk 46% of their offensive snaps. I bet if you go back, I know if you go back over the last 2, 3, 4 years, they'd be over 40% every year in terms of the number of snaps Juszczyk plays. So they basically play the same way all the time. Now, are there tweaks based on the opponent? Of course there are. There are always tweaks based on the opponent, but the Niners have a defined identity as to how they play, and they essentially play the same way every week.
Executive producer of NFL Films Greg Cosell is our guest. By the way, the breaking news that Devontae Adams is officially out this week because of the hamstring injury, so will not play. And that is
Thought you were going to tell me breaking news. He was just traded for Brandon Ayuk.
Hang out for a while. Let's see what happens here in the next 10 minutes. I don't know, hanging out with Greg Cosell and talking out. Okay. What about some of the other players out there? And you mentioned Jordan Mason, and I wonder what you think of him. You know, it's a little bit different than Christian McCaffrey, but what do you see?
Well, Jordan Mason, I don't know if you guys, I don't know how old you guys are, so I don't know how long you've been doing this, but you know who he reminds me of? Marion Barber. You remember him?
Oh, yeah.
He's a downhill velocity burst power runner. There's no mystery to how he runs. And he leads the NFL in carries. He's a very fun guy to watch. So I really like watching him. He fits what they do because he really... obviously, he's not McCaffrey. McCaffrey, when healthy, is the best back in the league. And certainly, Mason doesn't give you in the pass game what McCaffrey does. But in terms of being able to sustain offense and keep it on schedule, which is so critical to what the way the Niners want to play, certainly every team wants to play that way, but it's particularly critical to a team like the Niners, which normally doesn't push the ball down the field in terms of vertical throws, even though they had a few last week. You know, he fits that mold, that profile perfectly. I mean, he is a sustaining runner. And he's, you know, he's got, I think he's number one in the NFL, if I'm not mistaken, with yards after contact. And that's really the kind of back that he is. He's got natural power and really strong finishing traits.
Is his running style better suited to a single back set? Because even when they have Juszczyk in, I'm noticing more often that he gets motioned up into a second tight end spot.
Yeah, and they've done that with Juszczyk for years. That's not, you know, that's not unique to this season. I think he's best suited. Look, they like to run. They have multiple running concepts. But I think the thing about Mason is he wants to get downhill. So even if it's more outside zone-ish, he's going to get downhill. He's rarely, unless the edge is totally not set by the defense and the perimeter just opens up wide, he's looking to get downhill. He's not a dancer. He's not going to chop his feet in the backfield. He's looking to be decisive and to get downhill. And that's the way he runs. He's decisive. He's urgent. He's competitive. I mean, he just gets downhill. And when there's safeties there waiting for him, if he gets to the third level, he's not necessarily a juker. He just looks to lower his shoulder and run them over.
Greg, let's go to the other side of the ball. There's always a lot of talk about Nick Bosa's sack numbers. And you know, they're not exactly where everyone would love them to be, but is it too much to then translate that directly to the way he's playing? Like, how do you judge his performances?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I judge his performances by when he's singled, which is not that often. Is he creating pressure? And then how often that the offense accounts for him with their formations and with personnel. Sack. Keep one thing in mind. If I said that a guy was going to have 15 sacks, you'd say, isn't that a really good season?
Yep.
Yeah. Yes.
Very.
Okay. Keep in mind, he might have 400 pass rushes. So if a guy has 15 sacks and 400 pass rushes, when you think about it that way, does it seem like a great number?
No, it's not a great percentage.
No. So sack numbers are wonderful, but that's not the way to judge a pass rusher. You judge a pass rusher by how often they can impact the quarterback and by how they're accounted for by opposing offenses and opposing coaches.
Okay,
and
so
that's the critical piece. And he is accounted for on almost every must-pass situation. He was responsible in this game, for instance, for the Warner interception. He was responsible for a given sack because of the way they dealt with him and what it allowed other people to do. You see that with really great pass rushers. You see that with T.J. Watt all the time, the way teams account for these players. That is really a more important barometer of how impactful a pass rusher is than just a pure sack number.
So you see him as his normal dominant self right now?
Yes, and I see teams treating him as his normal dominant self. That's really the larger point.
And you look at the defense, and it seemed like they were their normal dominant selves. And I'm looking at some of the plays, and they rushed three. They brought some blitzes. They, on the Warner interception, actually, they showed blitz, and then they backed out of it. Was this a make-good game for Sorensen, or is it too hard to say against a New England offensive line that was really depleted?
Well, they played against a crappy offense, so I'm not going to, you know, we're not going to get too excited. Obviously, it's every coach will tell you it's hard to win on Sundays in the league, so you take every win. But in terms of the quality of the opponent, you know, I think that, you know, you take it. You take the W and you move on, but I don't think you look at this game and say, wow, this means that, you know, we have a great defense. But I think overall they've got pretty good players, and my guess is they'll continue to improve. Don't forget, when you have a new defensive coordinator and a new play caller on defense, all that takes time. The players have to understand what he's going to call in given situations. Everybody wants this to happen right away. It's still human beings dealing with human beings. So this stuff kind of takes time. He's trying to figure out his players as well. Now he's been there, obviously, but now that you're the one making the call, it's different.
Greg, you have mentioned a couple of times in our conversations that you really liked Renardo Green coming out of college.
Yeah.
And I'm intrigued, especially because Yadam has not been great. They only threw at Green one time last week. What are you seeing on film?
Yeah, well, he only played 23 snaps, and they're not a heavy man team. So, you know, a lot of times he just sort of bailed, and the ball didn't go to him. But there were a couple of snaps in which he played man, press man, which they're not a heavy press man team. And that was his deal at Florida State. I watched him for 2 years at Florida State. I probably watched 15 games on coaching tape. And Florida State is a heavy, heavy press man defense. So he played a ton of press man. So in the NFL, he'll have to, you know, get a better feel for playing off coverage, for playing with his eyes better, because his eyes are simply not going to be on the receiver right in front of him. But he's competitive. He's feisty. I expect him to be a quality starting corner. Now, I don't know if he's going to get the start, you know, this week against Arizona. But if he does, you know, he'll be the right corner, because Ward's almost always the left corner. And he'll only play in the nickel, because when they play out of their base, Lenora will be the starting right corner.
Interesting that he did out-snap Yadam 23-16 in that week four game.
Yep.
And,
yep.
You know, as we pivot, Greg, you are our pivot point every week, and we start to look now at Arizona and a Kyler Murray team that's been great and terrible and then great again and then terrible again. What do you see from this offense on tape that could pose problems for the Niner defense?
Well, they actually run the ball really well. James Conner is a very overlooked back in this league. You could argue in some ways he's a lot like a David Montgomery. Montgomery might be a little shiftier. Conner's probably a little straight line stronger. But Conner's a really good back. They've got some pretty good run game concepts. Murray will always be inconsistent because Murray's not a very good pocket passer. He doesn't really want to play from the pocket. He tends to move prematurely far too much, but he's always dangerous. He can always make special plays. If you go back to week two against the Rams, he did that. But then there's other games, basically since then, where he's been inconsistent. That's really who he is. I mean, he's played enough games that we pretty much know who he is. But because he can be special, you've got to be very, very careful, and you've got to play him a certain way, because he can get out of the pocket and make great plays throwing or running. But overall, the way in which he plays the game will not lead to consistency on a week-to-week basis.
What is the way for the 49ers to go about that, in your opinion? Or in other words, is this more on like the defensive line sort of like staying home and keeping with their assignments? Is it a linebacker spy? What's the best way to go about defending Kyler?
Well, then it becomes philosophy. Do you want to spy him? I mean, he's obviously a super dynamic athlete. Then you have to decide who you're going to spy him with. You know, I guess Fred Warner hurt his ankle. I don't know what his status will be for this week, but I'm not sure you want him to be that guy. So I don't know if they would want to do that. You know, then you get into the nature of your pass rush and how disciplined you have to be. And then what happens when he leaves the pocket? What do you do from a coverage perspective? So, you know, there's a lot of factors that go into that, and there's multiple ways to do it. I don't know how they see it. Obviously, they play him, well, he missed most of last season, but they normally play him twice a year, so they're familiar with the kind of player he is. It's not brand new. So I don't know what their philosophy, you know, if Nick Sorensen has a different feel, you know, he may have a totally different point of view than Steve Wilks did last year. I don't know that, but there's multiple ways to do it, but that's the way he can really hurt you.
Yeah, yeah, getting outside the pocket. Fred Warner, by the way, did not practice today with the ankle, so hopefully he'll be okay to go.
He would strike me as the kind of guy, though, that unless he literally can't walk, that he's playing.
Yes. It seems to be optimism, but it's still early in the week. Yeah.
But I wonder if you would just allocate him to the spy role, especially after what we saw this past Sunday, Greg, where he drops into coverage and leaps up and gets the pick and gets up and takes it to the house. Would that be a misallocation of the asset, in your opinion?
Maybe, because he could be the best underneath zone coverage linebacker in the league. He is so good at reading the quarterback, at reading routes, understanding where routes are coming from. I don't think there's anybody better than Fred Warner at that. And he's got tremendous length. But he's also got great sideline-to-sideline speed. So you could see him. Look, spying Murray is totally situational. You don't spy Murray on every play. You spy him in various situations. So could you do that three times a game, four times a game with Warner, depending on situation? You could. And he certainly has the inside-outside speed and range to do that. But like I said, he's such a great underneath zone defender. You have to then it becomes, you know, risk-reward. How do you want to deploy your best player on defense?
Quote, my plan is obviously to play. That's my hope. That's the quote from Fred Warner at Niners camp today. Hey, Greg, I'm curious what you think of the start of the career for Marvin Harrison Jr. How's that looked on tape?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's a really, really refined player. I think he's with an offense that the pass game is inconsistent, so he might not put up big, big numbers. You know, there'll be certain games he will, but I think because of the nature of the way Murray plays and the nature of the pass offense, you might not see him put up the, you know, the kind of numbers that other receivers might put up, and some people then might look at him and think, oh, he's not great, but he is great in terms of his traits and his skill set, you know, and plus it's only four games. So, you know, we're only at the quarter pole of the season, and I think that you'll start to see teams begin to take shape a little bit. Some teams know who they are. Like the Niners, we talked about their offense. They know who they are. We're not waiting to see what the Niners offense looks like. But I think with Murray, given that this was his first off season with this new coaching staff, because he was hurt the year before, that's going to take a little while to take shape.
Greg, one more before we let you go, and we haven't heard a lot about Arizona's defense, maybe because it's been mostly porous, but what do we look for when we see a Cardinal defense on Sunday?
Yeah, they do something really interesting, which, you know, not a lot of teams do, is they'll line up with basically three players at quarters depth on the back end. So it'll be the two safeties, Baker and Thompson, and that's where they'll put their slot corner, Garrett Williams. Now, they don't do this on every play, and then they'll play a lot of 5-1 fronts, five across, one linebacker stacked, and it's usually Kazir White, and they do that a lot. And then one reason they do that is because then they add in one of those quarters players on the back end, those three across, in the run game, and you don't know exactly who that is going to be. So it makes it sometimes tougher for an offensive blocking scheme because you don't know which guy's going to add in as the fill-and-run defender. But for the most part, they're a defense that plays a lot of five-man man fronts, and they don't have great talent, so they try to out-scheme you.
Greg, we're going to call you next week, as always, unless Davante Adams goes to the Niners, then we're calling you sooner.
All right. Well, we'll see what happens. Yep. I don't think I'd hold your breath on that, but obviously stranger things have happened, I guess.
That's exactly how I'm playing it. Greg, thanks. Great to have you as always.
Appreciate it, guys. Thanks so much.
Okay. We'll talk to you next week. We are presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. Greg Cosell. That was good.
Love it.
That was fantastic.
Yeah, and especially the late breakdown of the Arizona defense, and I'm looking forward to seeing that. The 5-1-5, essentially,
yep.
With the sneaky add-in, one of the guys playing quarters to come in the run game, and I'm just looking at their numbers against the run. Not good, Bob.
Not great. Yeah. Not great.
If I have Jordan Mason on my fantasy team, I'm pretty happy.
That's going to be a play from me, dog.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Yep.
But let's also not bury the beginning of that conversation. Would Davante Adams fit in the Niners scheme? Ain't no scheme out there that doesn't fit Davante Adams. That was essentially the answer from Greg Cosell. And about the blocking, I like what he said there too, which is like you put a Niner jersey on and you're a professional receiver, you'll start blocking because it's required.
Right. And if you don't have a decent run game like they don't in Las Vegas, you don't have a lot of chance to block downfield because your running back doesn't get downfield.
And Zamir White got hurt in practice today.
There you go.
Let's just throw that in
there
as well.
Yep.
888-957-9570. You in or out on the idea of the Niners moving on from Brandon Ayuk in exchange for Davante Adams? And again, what would the deal look like? We got some ideas on that that we'll pass along next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.